Mark chapter number 3, if you don't have a Bible with you, there's probably one right in front of the pew with you. We're just going to look at a couple of passages of scriptures. We're using the screen tonight because we're going to go through the Bible, go through a lot of different areas tonight. We're going to look at this idea of being with Him. Being with Him. The word Emmanuel means God with us, and I'm wondering how much time we spend with Him. And tonight we're going to look a little bit at that in Mark chapter number 3. We're going to look and start here in verses number 14 and 15. Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Give you a chance to get there. Mark chapter 3, verse number 14. The Bible says, "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils." Little phrase I want you to take special note is, and found in verse 14, that they should be with him. This phrase, I believe, highlights the disciples' first priority. Before he ever sent them out to preach, before he ever sent them out to heal the sickness, before he ever sent them to deal with the devils, they had to spend time with the Lord. The Lord called these men to follow him in a personal relationship with him, a personal fellowship. He wanted to teach them his ways. He wanted to teach them what exactly he wanted them to do. And the only way that could be done is by being with him, spending a close, special time with him. He wanted to train them by a personal example, and that could only happen by the disciples being with them. Most of all, Jesus Christ wanted to spend time in fellowship with them. Being with Jesus should also be our first priority in each of our lives. We should not go out to try to do things for God without taking time to be with him first. If we would be like him, the only way we're going to find out how to be like him is by spending time with him. If we're going to serve like he deserves to be served, if we're going to have his desires, we must spend time with him. And that's why I think when this verse is saying, "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him." Before he could allow these 12 to start this first century church and reach the world for God and for Jesus Christ, they had to learn to be with him. They had to learn the importance of having a close relationship and fellowship. There is nothing as important in your life as the time you spend with Jesus Christ. The time you spend with him in the closet of your prayer is more valuable than any wealth that you could have. The time you spend with him in his word is more valuable than any precious jewels. The Bible speaks so often and so much about our relationship and how we need to draw nigh unto him. There's nothing that can compare to the time we spend with him, being with him. Now, this is why it's so difficult, to be honest with you. As you draw near to God and you're close to God and you pursue after God, you change as an individual. That's why the devil fights you when you go to pray. That's why the devil fights you when you go to open up your Bible and read it. That's why the devil fights you when you try to meditate on Scripture or learn Scripture, and he's planted this lie in our minds that we cannot do that. That's the reason why, is because he doesn't want to spend time with him. He's going to do whatever he can to cause us not to be with him. And that's what we need to learn how to do. If we want to be close to somebody, we have to spend time with them. We have to understand them and get to know them. We are as close to him tonight as we want to be. We spend as much time with him as we want to. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He has promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. The question is, how much time do we spend with him? Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house. Lord, I thank you for this church family. Lord, I thank you for the blessings you bestow upon us. Lord, I pray that you help us to understand tonight that one of our first priorities needs to be and should be that we spend time with you, that we be with you. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Being with him. Now, I want you to understand that he gives us an invitation throughout all the Bible. I have a few verses up there for you to look at and understand, but they're throughout all the Bible. Remember, he says, "Abide in me." What does the word "abide" mean? It means to settle down, to rest in Jesus, to rest in the relationship you have with him. He wants you to spend time with him. He says, "Abide in me and I in you." Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." This is the invitation he's giving you. He says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. This is the invitation. He wants you, not only when you enter into a personal relationship with him through salvation, he wants you to spend time with him. He has ordained us to spend time with him before we ever go out to be able to do his work. This is an invitation he gives. Think about a couple of these things. He seeks to be with us. This invitation is so important to him. This invitation he's giving, he is actually seeking out those that are willing to be with him. Now, some of us sent out invitations to the Christmas cantata. And for those that were really interested for one person to coming or another person to come, you know what they will do? They will seek them out. They'll stop by their house and they'll invite them because they really want them to come. They'll call them on the phone. They'll offer to give them a ride. Maybe they'll offer to take them out to lunch afterwards. Whatever it is, they are seeking for them to come. And that's what Jesus is doing. He makes this invitation. He says, I want you to be with me. And here in Revelation chapter number 3, we see the story. He says, it's the story of Jesus Christ. It's the picture of the church of the Laodicean, the church of even what would be considered today. He's standing outside the church. All he wants to do is he wants to go inside the church and worship and sup with him. Look, it said, behold, what I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, the Lord is interested in you being with him. He seeks after you being with him. He calls you. He gives you his word. He gives you his spirit. He sends indications. He has preacher preaches messages. He allows people to work in your hearts and lives because his desire is that you be with him. You spend time with him. You grow close to him. You draw nigh unto him. He is giving you this invitation like the song we heard today, come unto me. He wants you to come unto him, not only in salvation, he wants you to draw nigh unto him and to be with him. Not only is it, we can see this invitation in the way he seeks us, but we also see this invitation in the fact that he is willing to take time with us. He's willing to take time with us. In John chapter number 1, you have the story where John the Baptist tells his disciples, behold, the Lamb of God. And his disciples go and follow after Jesus. And you have the conversation that happens here in verses 38 through 39. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Say, what's so special about that verse? Well, you can imagine Jesus Christ is entering his ministry here. He has just revealed to mankind that he is the Messiah. I'm sure he had plenty of things to do. He had a lot of things on his docket, a lot of things that he could have spent his time doing. But these two come to him, and they're seeking something. And Jesus says, well, what are you looking for? And he says, we just want to spend time with you. And Jesus stops and spends the day with them because he wants these men to learn and understand the importance of being with him. And I want you to understand, he will take the time to be with you. He will take the time to be with us if we will take the time to be with him. I love that story of Bartimaeus. I know you hear me talk about it often, but it talks about how when he was crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know what he did? He stood still. He wanted to take the time. There was someone who wanted to fellowship with him. There's someone who wanted his help. There is someone who needed Jesus, and they were crying out. He wanted to be with him, and Jesus stood still to just spend time with him. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're willing to be with him tonight, he'll take the time to fellowship with you. He'll take the time to draw nigh unto you. Remember, he is Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's never going to leave us or forsake us, but how much time do we spend? How much time do we take? Not only do we see this invitation here, but we also see the benefits of being with him. The benefits of being with him. It's not just a relationship that someone just wants to develop just to have a little bit of fellowship with one another. There's benefits to being with the Savior. And I like this one. It says, it is never a waste of time. It can't be taken from you. It is never a waste of time to be with Jesus Christ. It cannot be taken from you. You remember that story about Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha was the one cumbered about with going over so much and doing so much to feed the people there and to entertain the people and make sure everybody was well taken care of. And in Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42, the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know, Martha had the satisfaction of being able to serve and be the great hostess. But Jesus said that wasn't the most important thing. So there was one thing that was needful. And what was that one thing? What was Mary doing that was so special? She was at the feet of Jesus. She was learning. You know what she was doing? She was spending time with him. She was being with him. And I like that last phrase, which shall not be taken away from her. One of the benefits, when you spend time with Jesus Christ, it can't be taken from you. You know, I began to think about this and began to ponder this and meditate on this a little bit. It brought me back to the story about Paul and Silas in jail. You remember the story, they helped that little girl out and they got mad at them. They took their clothes and they took them off and they beat them. They put them in the stocks and they threw them in the jailhouse and down in the dungeon. And it's midnight and what are they doing? They're singing and praising the Lord. They could take away all their earthly possessions. They could take away all their dignity. They could take away their health. They could put them in the worst place imaginable. But there was something they could not take away from them. There is something they could not take away. They could not take away their relationship with God. They could not take away the fellowship they had experienced with God. They could not take the time they had spent with God and the relationship they had built with God. They knew it was real. There is nothing that anybody could ever do to take that time of being with Christ. I tell you, I don't know about you, but there's things in my life where I face hardships and I face hard times. And one of the good and easy ways to get myself picked back up is reading the Psalms, but also is to be meditating on how God has provided in the past, how God has taken care of us in the past, how God has seen us through some dark times. And I read stories about people who are in jail or martyrs that are getting ready to face death for the cause of Christ. And, you know, throughout the generations, but even in this current generation. And there is something that they cannot take away. They can put them in the deepest, darkest jail. They can take away their families. They can take away food. They can take away their health. They can take away so much. But they cannot take away that personal time you spent with Jesus Christ. That relationship you will have with him, if you will just be with him, that's something that no one can ever take from you. Not only is it a benefit that it's not a waste of time, it's also people take notice. One of the benefits of spending time with Jesus or being with Jesus is people take notice. You say, Pastor, you mean we're supposed to do things so people will take notice of us? No, they take notice that you've been with Jesus and realize that it's not you yourself, but the change that God's made in you. Look in Acts chapter number 4. And this is after Peter and John had ignored the warnings of the religious leaders. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. These religious leaders, these Sadducees, these members of the Sanhedrin are trying to get Peter and John to stop professing the name of Jesus Christ. They're overwhelmed by the miracles they had done. They were sitting there and they were looking at him, trying to get him to be quiet. And they looked at him and they saw something about them. And what they saw was here at the end, they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. You know, they said, you know what? There's something different about these men. There's something different about these two. I know they're unlearned. I know that they're ignorant. They've never been to school like we have. They've never learned and been trained in the laws like we have. But there's something special about them. You know what they said that was special about them? They spent time with Jesus. I tell you, if you're willing to take the time to be with Jesus, if you're willing to learn to spend the time in the meditation and praying and reading your Bibles and just spending time fellowshipping with him, you know what? People will take notice. Look what it says in Matthew 5:16. It says, let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you will take time, remember, Jesus ordained those 12 disciples to do what? To be with him. What does he want us to do? To be with him. And as we go out and we serve, people will see that we've been with Jesus and there's made a change in our heart, made a change in our lives, and they'll see your good works. They won't glorify us for it because they know it's not us doing it, but instead what God is doing through us. And they'll glorify our Father, which is in heaven, with our lives. Say, Pastor, that doesn't happen to me. Is that because we're not spending enough time with him? Are we being with Jesus? He says that he ordained them that they may be with him. And that's what I'm wondering, how much time we really truly spend with him. Not only is it a benefit that it's never a waste of time and that people take notice, but it will help you in your battle against sin. It can help you in your battle against sin. When you have an understanding of your relationship with Jesus Christ, in Romans chapter 6, and we're not going to spend a long time here because we could spend a long time here helping us understand, but we see these words with him in more than one spot here in Romans chapter 6. He says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And the illustration that is given here is that we've been buried with him by baptism into death. And this is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And if we understand what it means to be with him in baptism unto death, if we understand, like it says in verse number 6, chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. If we understand our old man was crucified on the cross and that we were buried in baptism, like unto his death, that when we are raised up, it's unto newness of life. We have a new life. We no longer, as you see, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. If we understand what it means to be with him in our baptism and also in being crucified with him, you know what? We're going to learn that we don't have to serve sin. You do not have to sin. Just as you're as close to God as you want to be tonight, you're sinning as much as you want to tonight. Yes, you do have a flesh. Yes, it does weigh on you. Yes, it is like carrying a dead man around with you, and it's something that's always bothering you. It's never going to go anywhere. But when we understand that we can be with him, and the picture of the baptism, of being baptized with him unto his death, and being crucified with him, we can see that we can have victory. We do not have to serve sin. Being with him means that we can have a battle, help in our battle against sin. Not only is there benefits, but I like to turn to kind of a negative look and see why is there some that are not with him? Why people stop being with him? You know, there's always been a moment in time, if you're a Christian today, if you're truly on your way to heaven, there was a time in your life where you desired the sincere milk of the word. There was a time where you wanted to be with him. That moment when you realized that you were a sinner and that you needed to go to heaven and that Jesus Christ died for you and that you had to put your faith and trust in him and him alone, at that moment in time, you had a desire to know him better. You had a desire to tell other people. You wanted to be with him. You wanted to understand more about him. You wanted to learn more about him. And here, sometimes in our lives, we let things happen to us where our desire grows cold. Here's some of the reasons why people stop being with him. First thing I want you to see is they don't like what he says. Some of the reasons why we do not serve God or believe the Bible or study the Bible is because we do not like what it says. So, Pastor, it's the Bible, it's the Word of God. Yes, but sometimes people read certain things and they just say, well, I don't really look at it that way. And they just shut the Bible or they skip over that section. John chapter 6, verse 66. Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. There was a hard passage of scripture for them to understand. Jesus presents this hard truth to them and helps them understand that this is a difficult thing that you're going to be facing. And many, many of the disciples turned around and says, that's not worth it. I'm not going to be with him anymore. The price is too high. Cost is too great. I'm not going to be with him anymore. And that's when he turned and looked to the disciples and he says, you know, are you going to go too? And Peter says, where are we supposed to go? You're the ones that have the words of life. And I mean, it's this idea here. Why do people not serve him? Why do people stop being with him? If it's really going to help us and people are going to take notice and we're going to make a difference in this world, shouldn't we all want to be with Jesus? If it's going to help us in our battle against sin, shouldn't we all want to be with Jesus? If it's something that we will not waste and it's something that we can take the time and we'll never lose, shouldn't we all want to be with him? Why do we stop? Sometimes because we just don't like what it said. And sometimes people leave a church because they do not like something that is preached or something that is said. They'll go to another spot where they don't say those things. Well, if it's in the Bible and that other church isn't saying those things, you're not going to the right place. You need to look in the Bible and see what the Bible says, and believe in the Bible and believe what the Bible says. And it's not a reason to stop being with him just because you do not like what's being said. Instead, we need to learn to be with him more and understand him more and see him more and fellowship with him more to help interpret what the scriptures are saying and what we're having a hard time about because we haven't spent enough time with him is the reason why many times people walk away. Those 12 sat there and they were willing to listen and they were willing to learn. It was just as hard for those 12 to accept what Jesus said as all those others that turned around and walked away. The question is, are you willing to be with him even when you don't like what it said sometimes? Not only is it why some people stop being with him is because they don't like what he says, it's because they love the world more than him. They love the world more than him. What we care about most is what we're going to think about most. What we care about most, we're going to put our most time into. What we care about most, we're going to put our most resources into. And the Bible says here in 2 Timothy 4:10, it says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica." This story here, the Apostle Paul is writing, and I know the Apostle Paul is not Jesus Christ, but he was serving the Lord. He was doing God's work. He was being with the Lord. And Demas was a helper. In different spots in the Bible, Demas is commended for his service for God. And there came a moment in time where Demas's life, he looked at what he was doing and he says, "Hey, look, I like the things of this world more than I like the things of God. And I'm going to forsake the things of God and the work of God, and I'm going to go serve the world." One of the main reasons why people stop being with Jesus, and maybe this is one of the reasons why you have stopped being with Jesus like you should, and fellowshipping with Jesus, and spending time with him like you should, is because you love the things of this world more than you love him. We don't like to admit that. I mean, we don't like to say that. But how much time do we really spend with him? How much time are we really being with him? And we got to find out one of these reasons is why is it that we are not spending time with him? Is it because we don't like the things in his words? Or is there just some things that we think are more important? Don't get me wrong. There are important things in this world. Your family is important. Church is important. Your providing a living is important. But anything you put before God becomes an idol in your life, even if it's important things, even if it's good things. And when you begin to love those things more than God, you're not going to be with him and it's like you should. Another reason why people stop being with him is because they're deceived. Out of ignorance, they don't think that they need to spend time with him. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Some people say, "Hey, I am good. I pray. I read my Bible. And I'm good with God. We're in a good fellowship." I talk to people often that tell me that. And then I begin to ask other questions like, "Well, are you doing this? Are you doing that?" I mean, things that are contrary to the Bible, things that are contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the things that they know is better. And they say, "Yeah, I'm doing that, but my fellowship was good." "Are you going to church?" "Well, I go when I feel like it." Or are you drinking? Are you smoking? Are you hanging out with the wrong friend? You know, all these questions. Yeah. But me and God, we're good. We're good. You know what? They've been deceived. That's why they don't think it's important that they spend time with him anymore. It's because they've been deceived. They say that they have fellowship with him, but they're walking in darkness. They're lying to themselves. The truth is not in them. The Bible says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Another benefit is the fact he will allow us to walk in the light. We will want to do what's right. And the problem is, many times people stop being with him is because they're deceived, they do not like what's being said, they have loved the things of this world, and they come to the point where they say, "Yes, I am fellowshipping with God. Yes, my relationship with God is great. We are on great terms, and I'm living for him, and I'm serving him." But the rest of their life is saying no. The rest of their life is screaming that I'm not right with God. That's the reason why people stop being with him. They can't have it both ways. They can't be reading their Bible and praying and out looking at things that they shouldn't be looking at. They can't be out there reading their Bible, spending time and being with him, and then turn around and live wickedly. They just don't think they need it anymore. They think that their relationship with God is good and settled. They don't need to be with him anymore. Those are some of the reasons. They say, Pastor, if I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, why do I need to be with him? I'm glad you asked. There's some dangers of not being with him also. Dangers of not being with him. You know, if you don't take the time to spend to be with him, you know what? There's some things that are going to happen in your life. Happened to Peter here. You're going to become ashamed of him. We become ashamed of him. We can become ashamed of him if we don't spend time to be with him. Well, most of us remember the story of those verses that are up there. It says, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man also was with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Now, we know the story. Jesus is in there and he's on trial and the Sanhedrin's there. John is nearby him and they're in there and they're mocking him and they're asking him questions. We know all the story. And Peter's out there warming his hands by the fire. And you say, and these people keep on coming up to him and saying, hey, you're one of his disciples. He says, nope, not me. Hey, you're one of his disciples. Nope, not me. And he says, hey, you're one of his disciples. And he begins to even curse. He was ashamed of being with him. He was ashamed of knowing him. You say, Pastor, that's a little bit unfair. His life was at risk. You know what? If he was with him, if he would have been with him inside where John was, he would have never been ashamed of him. And if we will spend time to be with him, we will not be ashamed of him. If you will spend time, take the time to be with him, you're not going to be ashamed of him around your friends and around your family. You're going to have a greater testimony, a greater relationship. You're going to understand your fellowship, and you're going to want to tell others about him. But many times when the person is silent, many times when the person is quiet, many times when the person refuses to admit that he is a Christian and is on their way to heaven, it's because they haven't spent the time with him like they should. They become ashamed of him. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to tell the world about him. But why don't we? Because we don't spend the time with him like we should. Not only is there that danger, but there is also another danger is we can't accomplish anything for him. And I tell you, as a Christian, I might fall short in a lot of areas, but one of the things I do is I want to make my life count for God. Don't you? I mean, don't you want to make your life count for the Lord? Don't you want to help your family? Don't you want to help your neighbors? Don't you want to help your country? Don't you want to make your life count for him? I know I do. I hope you do too. I hope that's your desire. You're here on a Sunday night, close to Christmas. I'm guessing you're here because you want to learn about God and you want to hear about him. And one of the things, if you stop being with him, the Bible tells us you're not going to be able to accomplish anything for him. What do you mean, Pastor? Look what it says in John 15, verses 4 and 5. He says, abide in me. Once again, that's that invitation. He's saying, if you will abide in me, he says, he wants you to be with him. That's what this word abide means. It means settling down in a relationship with him, being satisfied with him, being happy with him. He's saying, if you are willing to be with him, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So if you want to bring fruit in your Christian life, if you want to make a difference in this world, you're going to have to abide in him. But the Bible says, for without me, ye can do nothing. If you're going to spend your life not taking the time to be with him, to know him, to abide with him, according to what the Bible says, you're not going to be able to accomplish anything for him. Now, we don't like that verse. We don't like that phrase. We like to think, hey, I can do a little bit. I can make a difference here. I can help here. I can accomplish this, or I can do that. Well, then you're saying that you contradict what the Bible says, because the Bible says that you can do nothing without it. On spiritual terms, in a spiritual sense, doing something for God, you can accomplish nothing for him. Nothing for him. Unless you're abiding with him. Unless you're being with him. That's a danger. That's a danger that we must consider. Because we want our lives to count. We want to make a difference for him. Christian, tonight, the Lord, in that Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says, and he ordained 12. What did he ordain the 12 to do? Boy, they turned the world upside down. It even says that in the Bible, that they turned the world upside down. But what did he ordain them to do first? It says in verse 14, that they should be with him. Today, tonight, you're never going to do anything for him until you first learn to be with him. Now, we're good at doing the things that people see, because if we do not do those things, people will take notice. We are good at doing the things that people see, because if we do not do those things, people will take notice. People will take notice when you don't come to church. People will take notice when you don't show up at an activity. People will take notice when you stop singing or when you stop serving. But in our own spiritual walk, our own private time that we're supposed to be being with him, our prayer, our Bible reading time, that's between you and God. But we must learn that being with him should become the first priority in our life. That was the first priority for these disciples. He says, look, before I send you out to preach, before I send you out to help the sick, before I send you out to fight those demons, before I send you out to do anything, you're going to need to stop and take time to be with me. How much time do you take to be with him? How much is your personal walk with him? How is your fellowship with him? You know, if we walk in darkness and say we have fellowship with him, we lie. We deceive ourselves. And I think that many times Christians today, myself included at times, think we're okay. But we are never okay when we're not taking time to be with him. Let's go ahead and have everybody stand to their feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, as we get ready to go to a word of invitation time. I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I take the time needed to be with him? Do I take the time to develop my relationship with Jesus Christ? This is a battle for many Christians. I would say it's a battle for all Christians. Take the time to be with him. Why do we stop? It's many times because we love something more than him. Many times we not only love something more than him, we've believed a lie. We don't like what the Bible says, so we stop being with him. There's a danger to that. A danger in the idea that we cannot accomplish anything for him, that will become the shame of him. Remember those benefits. People will take notice. It is never going to be wasted time to learn a memory verse, to meditate on the scriptures. You'll never waste your time doing the one needful thing, and that is being with him.